Last week we talked about bitterness, and I think, like I said last week, I think it affects all of us, but I think sometimes as we get older, you know, things that we've held on to for a long time, it definitely comes out maybe a little bit more. And but I think young people struggle with it. My age struggle with it. You know, older folks struggle with it. And one of the things about, and I'm going to review some this morning, I guess, from last week, and then we're going to kind of, this kind of goes along the same subject, but it's a little bit different. But Psalms chapter 6, if you're there, we're going to read this whole psalm. And we kind of hear the heart cry of David here a little bit. And so let's read that this morning. Verse number 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to give us to come once again to your house. Lord, thank you for this birthday Sunday. And Lord, as we just celebrate the different birthdays, and Lord, I thank you for the years of life that you give us. And Lord, help us to make those years count for you. And it doesn't matter how many we have, Lord, I pray that we would make every moment, every day, to make a difference for eternity. And thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. And pray that you would just guide my thoughts, guide my mind this morning, and help me just be a blessing to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we talked about bitterness. You know, we talked about how it's usually the root of it. If you want to go back to the very root, is probably a very justifiable thing, right? And but it's kind of like we talked about the dandelion, you know, and it starts as a small seed, and before long it takes root and it grows and it grows and it grows. And like I said, you know, it was probably a legitimate wrong, a legitimate thing, but it wasn't taken care of way back there. If you were, and I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but if you look at the word bitter or bitterness in the Greek, in the Hebrew, that type, going back into like a Strong's Concordance, it kind of has the connotation of a trickle. And I thought that was very interesting because, you know, a cup, if you just had a trickle, you know, before long it fills up, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. It doesn't happen. It's not like a big gush. It's just a little bit at a time. And I think that's the way bitterness sometimes is. So we talked about it's usually a justified thing. And that's, I think, one reason it's so hard to get rid of bitterness is because everyone still comes back to, yeah, but you don't know what, you know. But we still have to, you know, it eats us alive. And we still have to get those things correct. We still have to get those things right. Many times it's because of an unrealized expectation. You know, we expected something out of somebody, or we expected something to be done and it wasn't done. You know, we get bitter against God sometimes because we don't think God was fair in this. Well, to be quite honest, why is it our place to judge what God does or does not do? You know, but many times, you know, we still think, yeah, but I was doing what was right. I was, you know, I told the teens not too long ago, you know, when I was in high school, I forget it was my junior or senior year, my mom would probably know, but, you know, I was playing football, you know, I was doing what I was supposed to. I mean, I wasn't out there in sin, I wasn't out partying on a Friday night or, you know, disobeying my mom. I was at PE on, you know, in a Christian school, you know, on a Thursday, and I broke my pelvis running down the football field, and my muscles basically, nobody hit me. I mean, I was in front of everybody. But my muscle basically, you know, I was running so hard, my muscles pulled my pelvis apart. And, you know, you're a junior, senior in high school. It's kind of, that's not fair. You know, I mean, who does that happen to? Okay, it wasn't like I was in a car accident or anything. just happened. There wasn't anything you could do to prevent it. There wasn't, I mean, it just happened. And I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I kind of got, there were, you know, 6 weeks you're on a bed or basically very limited in what you're able to do. And you're a junior, senior in high school. I got all kinds of stuff I want to do. And being in bed is not one of them. Okay. And, you know, and you say, "Bro, Chad, that's a silly thing. You don't understand." Okay, I get it. I get it. Like I said last week, I don't know. Everyone's got their thing, okay? But a little thing like that, you're laying there, right? And we talked about, you know, I had the light bulb up here and it was clicking in and on and off. And you're like, "That's so annoying," you know? But you're focused on the wrong thing. And trust me, when you've got a lot of time and all you can do is focus on that one thing, it can grow and it can grow and it can grow and it can grow. And so we have to be careful about those things. We focus on the wrong thing. So in my study of this whole thing of bitterness, and I don't know if anybody else, it was just something I needed, okay? And I came across this other word, and we're going to talk about it a little bit this morning. And it's not the same as bitterness, but it still has something to do with our spirit, our heart, our attitude. And it's the thought of being vexed. This thought of being vexed. So the word vexed, we see it here in Psalms chapter number 6. We see it in three different spots here. And if you read this psalm, I don't know what has happened. Maybe I should have done some more research. I don't know in David's life what has caused him to write this psalm, okay? Schofield, a lot of times, he'll put, like, for instance, Psalm chapter 3, it's when he fled from Absalom, his son. There's a different reason that he wrote the psalm. But there's a few things here. Verse number 1, "O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure." I feel like in some ways that David felt like he was being chastened by the Lord here, okay? Later on, it talks about his enemies. I think there was a lot of, you know, I mean, I think as a human being, we can take pressure. Pastor talks about our fuel tanks. You know, you've got your physical, your spiritual, and your emotional fuel tanks. And I think as long as you can kind of keep two of them going, the other one can kind of suffer a little bit. But when you start getting empty on, you know, you're tired physically, you know, you're getting all these attacks from different directions, I think you just kind of get wore out. And but Psalm chapter 6 here, Bible, look at verse number 2. Bible says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed." And this word vexed, I looked it up in a lot of different places, okay? But the word vex, if you look it up in like Webster's Dictionary, the 1828, it means to irritate. And it means not just to irritate, but to irritate by small degrees, okay? So kind of you know, your brother and sister growing up or whatever, that one that just got under your skin, you know, and they knew just what button to push, you know, that really, really annoyed you. And, you know, if we were all, you know, you can take a lot of stuff, but that constant just, you know, somebody's just sitting there just poking you, you know, okay, at some point it gets old, right? Well, that's kind of what that word vex means, is that irritation. And to torment is another, if you go into like there's several actually definitions, the way it's used in the Bible. But to torment, this is an interesting one, to cramp, to like, you know, feel like you're in a cramped thing, which is irritating, all right, if that irritates you, to bring violence to. And we see this in several places in the Bible, this thought of being vexed. And as a human being, it is easy to get vexed, okay? Now, I believe it's different from bitterness in the fact that it, you know, bitterness goes back to a root of a problem. Okay, bitterness, there is a legitimate thing. Being vexed is just something that is irritating or annoying. But it's also something that many times we carry as a human being, and it can affect our spirit, okay? It could be a little thing. It could be something that somebody says. Or I've been around people, this is silly, but their laugh irritates me. All right? Have you ever been around somebody that's just got this, you know, this laugh that you're like, would they just be quiet? You know, I mean, it's like, why are they doing that? Micah, my son, he's got this, I don't know why he even does it. I think he thinks it's funny, but no one else thinks it's funny, right? And he's got this weird laugh that he does. And it's just like, stop. You know, it's very annoying to me. You know, well, that's, you say, Bert Chad, that's silly. Yeah, I get it. It's silly. But we all have those things, right? That it just, why are you doing that? You know? And there's things that I do that I'm sure vexes people, vexes my wife, right? That, you know, and I've told you this before, you know, me hanging my shirt up backwards on a hanger, you know, you say, Bertrand, what's the right way? Ask her. All right, there obviously is a correct way to hang your shirt up on the hanger and hang it up. I was just thought I did good by hanging my shirt up at all, you know, but, you know, the vexing or, you know, leaving my socks on the floor, it vexes my wife. You know, it irritates her. Why? Because I keep doing it. You know, it's that button I keep pushing. And you say, Bertrand, you should not vex your wife. I understand. I get that. But there, we all have those things that it's just like there's something. But the truth of the matter is there's things in life that vex us that we carry, and it hurts us. It vexes us. There's burdens, if you would. I'm going to look at a few of these. Some of these, I believe that some vexation comes because we are not doing the right thing. Okay? And you look at that in the life of Israel, and there is a vexation because they weren't doing the right thing, and God vexed them. All right? He tormented them. Why? Because they weren't doing the right thing. There is vexation. We're going to look at some of these. There is vexation because of our own doing or appetites that we have, okay? And because we have decided we have made choices, then there is a vexation that comes with that. There is the vexation because of sin. There's a vexation because of evil spirits. We see that in the Bible several times. And so we're going to look at a few of these. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. I'm going to look at several verses here in Ecclesiastes. They're all right close together. So if you can take your Bible, I think that will help you to be able to see these. Because Solomon, you know, the wisest man on earth, you know, Ecclesiastes is... Ecclesiastes is, I think, Solomon's man view, right, of life, okay? It's at when it all sums up, it's like at the end of life, this is, if you were to look through a physical viewpoint, you know, that's what Ecclesiastes is, okay? And Ecclesiastes chapter number 1, we're going to see this, we're going to look at several verses here. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, look at verse number 14. The Bible says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Vexation of spirit. And you know, and Solomon, and we're going to look at a lot of these in Ecclesiastes, there's several verses. Solomon says, basically, you know, okay, at the end of your life, what have you accomplished? It's all empty, right? You know, he talks several times, you know, I'm going to die and leave everything I've worked for, everything I've got, I'm going to leave it to somebody else. Why even try? Okay? And he said it's a vexation of spirit. It's irritating, it's annoying. This word vex, in especially in Ecclesiastes, and this is probably the definition I'm going to use as much as anything, is an interesting word because if you trace it back to the root, it means to pasture or to tend a flock. Now, I thought that was kind of interesting that the word vex, if you trace it all the way kind of back, the form of it is to pasture, like you was to tend a flock, to take care of a flock. You know, and one of the things I think, and I hope I can develop this thought to you, is that a lot of the things that we are vexed with is because we feed it. Okay? We feed it. And you know, we talked about this, and this is, I think, where some of this ties together, this bitterness last week we talked about. You know, that light going on and off fed that. You know what I mean? And, you know, okay, if you don't want dandelions to grow, right? Obviously, you don't want to give them, you know, a place to take root. But if they do take root, you definitely don't want to, dump Miracle-Gro on them. Right? You know why weeds grow so well in your garden? Is because they're getting all the other nutrients that you're trying to get to your plants, right? And so it's nutrient-rich soil. Now the weeds are going to grow like crazy. Why? Because you're feeding it, okay? And I thought that was very interesting that, you know, when it came back to it, the Bible's like, you know, you're feeding this, okay? This vexation, this thing that's annoying you, all right? Look at verse number 7. Let's go through all the ones in Ecclesiastes, and then we'll develop this a little bit as we have time, okay? Ecclesiastes, look at verse number 17, chapter 1, verse 17. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom, this is my life verse when I was in school, by the way. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. I thought that was excellent for when I was in school. Like, why am I, you know, I was like Solomon when I was in school. Why am I in school right now? I have no idea. This is a vexation of spirit in my life. But you know what Solomon says? This is annoying, right? This is something that, I've gotten all this wisdom, but to what good? Okay? Look at chapter 2. Look at verse number 11. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Say, Brother Chad, what are you talking about, all this labor and all the things that you do? Okay? I want you to think about the past week. Okay? Okay, you think about your past week. I'm going to tell you about mine, okay? Because maybe that'll, right? The labor that we do. You know, every day that we live, if you're a doing person, there's a certain amount that has to be done, and there's a certain amount that you just don't have time to do, okay? You know, my list, if you look at my list of stuff to do, it's extremely long. And I never have enough time in the day or enough money to get it all done, okay? And I think that's the way we live our life, right? And, you know, I got a house I'm building this. We almost got it completely framed this week, okay? And it's like everything has to line up. You know, all the stars have to line up for everything to get done that week, right? And, you know, material has to be delivered. Okay, so on Monday, right, what are you worried about on Monday? You know, well, I can't build a house on Thursday if my material doesn't get delivered on Monday, right? So Monday you're worried about the material getting delivered. And then you're worried about, okay, this has to be here on Tuesday. And the doors have to be here. And this has to be here, right? My material didn't show up till Thursday afternoon. You know what vexed me for the first part of my week? That was a vexation of spirit. Why? Now, my material showed up Thursday, and you know what? That vexation went away. Does that make sense? But now I have the vexation of, I've got rain coming this weekend. I have to get this amount of done before the weekend. Okay? You know, we're working on pastor's bathroom. So, you know, I get done with work, and then we go to work, and then we go to work, right? It's that type of week, okay? But isn't that the way we live our lives? You know, your vexation on the thing that bothered you Monday, probably by the end of the week, it was a thing of the past. But right now, you have something all of us, I think if you think about it, you've got something coming up that you're worried about. You've got something coming up that is, if you're not careful, it vexes us. And I think Solomon, he's looking at all of his life and he's like, okay, I was so worried about this on Monday, but that's not even relevant today. And then Tuesday it was this, and then Wednesday it was this, and then Thursday it was this. All of that's irrelevant now that it's Sunday. Okay? Because there's tomorrow, and there's this coming week, and there's all this other stuff. And I think when Solomon looked at life, and when he sat back and he looked at it from not in it, but at it, he was like, why am I even worried about it? I mean, this is, all my life is, I'm just going from, and okay, I think we've got the mature class in here, but, you know, I mean, there's still days that there's still times there's more month than there is money. Okay, and you're worried about that, right? Because it's coming and you know it's coming and it bothers us. And if we're not careful, we let those things, if we're not careful, here's what happens. We feed those things. We feed those things. You know, didn't God promise that he was going to take care of us? Didn't God promise that he was going to, you know, I mean, if he takes care of the sparrows, why can't he take care of us? Okay? But there's all these things that if we're not careful, we feed. Verse number 17, I keep getting off. Verse 17 of chapter 2, Ecclesiastes. Bible says, therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Look at verse 22. For what hath man of all his labor, and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? Look at verse 26. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. Flip over to chapter 4. Look at verse 4. Again, I considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. Look at verse 6. Better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Verse 16, let me make a note here. It's in my notes. You know, I think this verse is, you know, what this lesson is basically, we can let our lives be controlled by whatever vexes us. We can allow that to be fed, and we can feed it, and we can feed it, and we can feed it, and it'll control your life. Okay? It will. It'll control your life, and it's the focus, remember the bitterness thing, it's the focus of our life if you let it be the focus of your life. Okay? Verse 6 here, better is a handful with quietness. Okay? You know, when we think about the American Christian, okay, the American Christian. Somebody asked me the other day, do you think, you know, and this is the question of, you know, I guess if you go to a preacher's fellowship, they all sit around a table, and do you think revival will come to America? Can America see revival again? Okay? Like it's happening in the Philippines. And quite honestly, the answer is not until we are like the Philippines. You know why there is revival happening in the Philippines? Is because a man goes to work and he makes 10 bucks for an entire day. They don't have everything that we have, okay? But they're not living for all of that stuff either. You know, I was thinking about, you know, we talk about the Amish and we got the Yoders here. And I was thinking about, you know, how many, pastor had it not too long, I say not too long ago. It's been probably several years ago. He had a book called Henry and the Great Society. Has anybody read that? Henry and the Great Society. He was recommending a book that you read, okay? It's a little book, probably, it's less than 100 pages, okay? I would recommend everybody go read that book, all right? It's just a hypothetical story about a man named Henry that it was... verse number 6 here, that's the way he was. He had nothing. But man, they were happy. Okay? But then they decided, well, we need this. Right? You know, if we didn't need all the stuff that we need, right? We don't have to work near as much because we don't need to make the money to get what we need, right? The Bible says, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And this is what I was saying about being vexed. Sometimes the choices that we make cause us to be vexed. You know, people say, well, we don't have enough money. You know, it kills me. And I haven't seen them up at Terre Haute at the Walmart, but there used to be all the people that stood at the Walmart thing on the south side there that, you know, were wanting money, wanting you to hand them money. And they still do it. Okay, I don't go up there. But they wanted you to hand them money, right? And then behind their little, you know, their little cardboard sign that said help wanted, you know, God bless. You know, I don't know why they always throw God in there, but God bless. They've got the newest smartphone that's out there, right? And it's like, well, if you really need, okay, sometimes the choice is, well, I don't have enough money, but you've got a $700 car payment, right? Sometimes the choices that we make, I was thinking about this last night. I was sheeting stuff and, you know, God's blessed me. I've got some nice equipment. Lord's blessed me with it, you know, and it's like, how much of this job, this is what I was thinking last night. I'm just being honest. I'm being transparent because I was thinking about this. How much of this job that I'm doing right now is going to pay for this nice piece of equipment that I have right now? That if I didn't have the nice piece of equipment, I wouldn't have to have the job. Does that make sense? Right? Now, it's really nice. I like it. And it makes the job way easier. But if I didn't have it, would you have to have the job? That mindset, you understand where I'm going? Because then it's, well, where are we going to get the money to pay for this? Where are we going to get the money to pay for this? Well, some of that stuff is self-inflicted, all right? Relationships can be that way too. I'll stop here in Ecclesiastes, but Judges chapter number 16, you know what the Bible said? About Delilah, that Delilah vexed Samson to death, which is an ironic statement in and of itself, all right? But before he ever died, she vexed him to death. But you know whose problem that was? That was Samson's fault. He chose her, right? And because of that, it was just, well, I got to have her. She's beautiful. Okay, well, you're getting everything that, it's a package deal, buddy. All right? You get the good with the bad. But it vexed him. It vexed him. We see in 2 Peter chapter number 2. Let's flip over there, if you could. 2 Peter chapter number 2. I'll read this for you. 2 Peter chapter number 2. Verse number 7, the Bible says, and delivered, this is talking about when God wiped out the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's read verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Whose choice was it to go to Sodom? It was Lot's choice. It was Lot's choice to go to Sodom. Okay? And all the stuff that he saw, all the stuff, the Bible says, all the stuff he heard, all the stuff he saw, it vexed his soul. Right? It vexed him. It bothered him. It irritated him. But I'm sorry, who was feeding it? Right? Who is allowing it to be fed? Okay, and we live in a culture that anything that, you know, we used to talk about, You know, I remember Pastor Robert Ross standing up here and saying, you know, warning us about going to the movie theaters and all that type stuff, okay? I'm sorry, but American Christians have brought movie theaters into your homes. And we do it behind, you know, I think it was Ezekiel or Isaiah talks about we do, there's darkness now, and we do it behind the doors. No one can see it now, okay? And it's like, you know what that stuff is? It's a vexation of spirit, okay? You're watching something, and you're allowing that to come into your mind, your heart, and it vexes your righteous spirit, okay? But ultimately, whose choice is that? It's our choice. And a lot of times, the things that vex us is because of the choices that we have made. And so this vexation of spirit, Amnon, we read in the Bible, Amnon was vexed because he wanted his sister Tamar. And if you know that story, right? The Bible says Amnon was vexed in his spirit. You know why Amnon was vexed? I don't think it was because Tamar was out there, you know, I don't see that with Tamar. Okay, if you look at Tamar's reaction when all this went on, she begged Amnon not to touch her. She begged Amnon to leave her alone. Okay, I don't think it was Tamar, but it was Amnon. And you know why he was vexed? Because he kept feeding it. He kept feeding that in his heart. Okay? So we see this vexation. Now, you say, Brother Chad, what is the practical application? Okay? First of all, honestly evaluate if this vexation is self-inflicted. Right? Okay, look at life. All right, did I just do a bonehead thing? I remember the first time my wife has been really good with me. If I come home and I'm like, so honey, she's like, what did you buy? Right? And some of them have been large purchases. You know, I went to eat snow cones. We went to eat snow cones one time with a friend of mine, and I ended up buying a house. You know, and it's just stuff like that, you know, opportunity presents itself, and, you know, hey. And so the one thing that she's never quite, I came home one time, and I'm like, so honey, I was like, we've been needing a new mower, right? And I just bought a mower today. You know, money was tight, you know, everything like that. And I think in her mind it was John Deere Ryder, you know. No, it was a Hustler Super Z 72-inch hyperdrive, all right? Top of the line, like the best mower Hustler makes, all right? Well, it wasn't a $1,500 mower. It was 10 times that. What did you do, right? You know, well, you know who had to be vexed in my spirit as I'm trying to make payments, right? Because of a decision I made, okay? So honestly evaluate if it's a decision that you have made. Think about this. Problems don't fix themselves. I have never had a water leak just shazam, fixed itself. All problems do is cause more problems. Have you ever laid a bill on your counter because you didn't have money to pay it, and it ever just disappeared, and the creditor called you and said, hey, by the way, we just decided, you know, we haven't seen payment in a couple months, and we just decided we probably figured you're having a tough time, and don't worry about it. Has that, any testimonies? No. Problems don't go away. Okay? You got to fix it. You got to fix the problem. Because if not, it's going to be a vexation. It's going to be something that you carry. And here's the biggest one. Take it to God. Take it to God. Because not all vexation is something that we've done. Right? Now, if you've done it, okay, don't ask God to come, oh God, would you fix my mistake, okay? And God will help us. I believe that. But there's also some lessons we have to learn when we make mistakes. But I see in Matthew chapter number 15, we got to hurry. Matthew chapter 15, I'll just read some of these verses quickly for you. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 22, we see some other things here Bible says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And there's several of these, chapter 17, verse 15. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. You know where they were going to get help with this vexation? To the Lord. The very first passage we read this morning, Psalms chapter number 6. Who did David go to when his heart was vexed? Because the Bible says his bones and his heart was vexed. Who did he go to? God. Okay? There's going to be things that happen in your family. Right? That it's a weight on your mind that you carry. Maybe it is finances. And you know what? Listen, trust me. I live in the same economy that everyone in this room lives in right now. The inflation is ridiculous, right? I mean, I don't know. Brother Ryan can tell you better than I can. I mean, he's the economics guy, right? But it's hard for the average American right now, okay? When all the food prices, everything has gone up, and your wage is still the same, okay, that's a problem. And it's not something that you did, right? It's something that you still are vexed with. It's something that you're still carrying, okay? Sometimes you have a child or you have a loved one that's not doing what's right. Is that something that you did? No. Your family's having problems or something like this. Is it something you did? If it's not, sometimes that's just a weight that we carry. And if we feed it all the time, it doesn't get any better. But sometimes, Brother Chad, there's nothing I can do about this problem. It's a problem and I carry it, but there's nothing I can do about it. All right? You know where all these people in the Bible that had vexation, that had problems, you know where they took it to? They took it to God. All right? I just want to encourage you, hey, number one, make decisions that's not going to vex you, okay? But two, if there is something that if you can't handle it, what did David do? He said, I pour out my heart to you. All right? Who is he talking to? God. Okay? And all these people, I got several other references, but these problems aren't going to fix themselves. Okay? And we got to take it to God. Right? Get it so you're not feeding it, not focused on it, like the bitterness thing. Okay? But take it to God. Let God come. Because I think sometimes God wants us, you know, I said that thing about the Philippines. Americans at this moment, the average American doesn't need God. They don't need God. You know, if something goes awry, you know who steps in? Uncle Sam. Right? I mean, you lose your job. Right, guys, right now, if you lost your job, you can sign up and get unemployment. And it still gives you enough money to probably get by. And in fact, some of the people on unemployment are probably making more money than what I'm making, to be perfectly honest. Okay? But what happens when you lose your job and there is nothing there? The Great Depression era. When the government didn't step in and say, oh yeah, here's food for everybody, here's food stamps. No, you had to go stand in line and hope there was enough soup left to feed your family. Okay? Well, maybe America needs some of that, where we're looking back up to God and saying, God, we don't have anything. We need you. Okay? Could America have revival? Yeah, but it's probably going to take that. Okay? Because we don't need God. Americans don't need God. They do. They do. We don't think we need God. That's a better way to say that. All right? And, but the vexation. Don't let things vex you that you can't, all right? You can carry that every day. You know what Solomon said at the end of his life? Every day something new vexed me. Every day there was a new problem. Every day. And at the end of it, did it matter? No, not really. Vanity, empty, vexation of spirit. All right? So let's guard our heart, guard your soul, and take it, if you're having a problem, take it to God. Because God, I believe God wants to help us, right? But we got to go to Him. That's what He wants. He wants us to come to Him. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, this helped me as I was, sometimes I just focus on the wrong things. Lord, I get so caught up in the mundane that I really don't look at the whole picture of life and what's really important. And Lord, it's so easy for me to get vexed with trivial things that really don't make that much difference for eternity. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to live more with an eye for eternity and what really matters in life, and investing in the lives of other people and in the souls of man. Lord, I pray that you'd guide us and direct us. Lord, I pray that we would honor you, love you, and help us to make good decisions. Lord, help us to be careful about making decisions that's going to vex us and cause us grief and pain. And Lord, I pray that we would then take everything else that we can't control. I pray that we would take it to you and just allow you to take care of things for us. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.